If you are visiting with us, again, let me thank you for being with us. And I hope you have accepted our invitation to be family with us. I also hope that in this short period, you have learned a little bit about us. Now, in a period of just over an hour, close to an hour and a half, we might be expecting too much in terms of displaying who we are to the core. There is so much depth to who we are as a people. If you were to give me a moment, it could be said that we are a people of faith. We are people who believe in God. We believe in Jesus. We believe that there is a Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit is in us. Now, we don't see the Holy Spirit, but we believe that it's in us. And so we are a people of faith. And oftentimes, as a people of faith, we believe in things, even though the evidence, you know, maybe points to the contrary. But that's what people of faith do, and sometimes it seems silly, but we don't apologize for that because we are a people of faith. It might be said that we are a people on a mission. We are not a people that's been created to just stand still and stare into the sky. We are people who've been created to move and to do some things. And Nick alerted to it earlier. We alluded to it earlier. We just finished preaching through the book of Acts. And that's about a group of people who were on a mission from God. Jesus says, go. He says, get out and move things and shake things by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we are a people on a mission. It could be said that we are a people with a conviction. We believe in some things and we stand up for some things. We spend a great deal of time in the Word of God. We call the Bible. We spend a lot of time in here because we are deeply convicted and what it says. And even though it's not that we have a full understanding of everything it says, there's a lot of things in here to wrestle with, and there may be some disagreements amongst us here, we are deeply convicted that this is serious stuff. It may be said that we are a people with a story. We are a people with a story collectively as a body, and we are a people individually with individual stories. And the more we get to know each other, the more we get to know each and everyone's individual story. And this is probably the most important one. We are a people who are wrapped up in a love story. Now, I'm here to tell you that if you don't hear anything else that I say today, I want you to hear this. God loves you. In a world where we're so busy trying to earn other people's love and acceptance, and we want people to like us, and we want people to accept us, and we want people to validate us, we are wrapped up in a world where that often goes bad. It often didn't go the way that we wanted to go. But this is true. God loves us, and he sent his only son for us. That in a nutshell is who we are. If you're visiting with us and you never see us again, I want you to know that it could be said that we are all of those things. We're a people of faith, a people on a mission, a people with a conviction, a people with a story, and a people who are wrapped up in a love story. Now, all of these descriptions are true about us, and there are many ways to communicate these truths. And one of the ways we try to communicate these truths as a way of sharing with people who don't know us who we are, and also as a way of reminding ourselves of who we are, is in the context of a worshiping community. You see, when we gather together and we pray together and sing together and commune together and read and listen to scripture together, we are a worshiping community. Now let me be clear. Our worship is not limited to this time nor this space. But this gathering today certainly represents our intent on being a worshiping community. I want to invite everyone here today into a new series called Encounter, the Church as a Worshiping Community. I have no intent in redefining worship per se, but would like for us to consider some ideals that might launch us into a place where we hunger and thirst for more opportunities to worship as individuals and as a community. Now, our fellowship, Churches of Christ, has put a high premium on worshiping the right way. Now, while that is noble, often our attempts to be accurate tend to restrict our understanding of the depths of worship. One of those misunderstandings is that very idea that I just mentioned, that we limit our worship to this time or space. If this is all the worship you get, if this is all the worship you give, you're going to be hurting. If you're just limiting yourself to when you come here, if you're limiting yourself to when you come here, making sure that we sing the song that you want, what happens when we don't sing the song that you want? If you limit your worship to here, you're going to leave disappointed. That's why our worship is not limited to this time or this space. And while we're not trying to redefine worship, maybe what we need is some simple reminders. And at the heart of who we are a worshiping community. And at the center of our worship is Jehovah. And I could camp out there for a long while because we gather together to worship him for so many reasons. And for the record, when you and I reflect on or think about or recollect our experiences with the God of heavens, it may induce some form of celebration. There is much to say about the human race, but one thing is for sure. We know how to throw a party. And we will come up with any reason to party. Birthdays, anniversaries, promotions, retirements, graduations, the 4th of July, Labor Day, Memorial Day, Thanksgiving, Super Bowl, baby showers. We like to celebrate. That's just who we are. Just the other day, my wife and I were out to eat, and we were by ourselves, and waiter said, "Are y'all celebrating something special?" I said, "Yes, our kids are not here." That's something to celebrate. That's something to celebrate, especially when you get that bill and it's half off because you don't have the kids. We love to celebrate. That's who we are. We love to throw a party. So if we are a people who are prone to celebrate so much, we cannot, should not, and will not forego celebrating our God. The people of God capture this sentiment, and we see it throughout Scripture. In Israel, they take the lead in this experience as we look through Scripture. We have in our Bibles a collection of 150 hymns that display a community that worshiped and celebrated Jehovah. In Psalm 98 that Noah read earlier, it says, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." If we just open our eyes and open our hearts, we would see and feel the work of God in our lives. If we are not hindered, the most natural response to the work of God, that is, he initiates this. If we're not hindered, the most natural response to the work of God is praise and worship and celebration. In this setting, the response is to sing a song in celebration. Israel knew how to throw a party. They knew how to celebrate. After pensive reflection on the work of Jehovah, they would sing, or they would shout, or they would clap, or they would dance, and they would tell other people, and they would celebrate. Now, church, I don't want to make this hard. In fact, there is no reason to try to raise a bunch of heavy and deep theology. The writers of the Psalms were not theologians. The writers of the Psalms didn't go to seminary and study original languages and come up with a theology of worship or come up with a theology of celebrating. They just reacted to the work of God and they gave praise. They gave worship and they celebrated. So I'm not here to make this difficult. I'm not here to throw out a bunch of large words and a large concepts. I'm here to simply get us to understand that when God moves, we move in reaction to his movement and we give praise and worship and in celebration. The writers of the Psalms were regular people of God who could not contain themselves when it came to God and his activity. Church, sometimes I've got to temper my excitement. You see, I just love praise and worship. I love singing praises. I love when we sing and get excited and we clap. And I love being with God's people and shouting praises to God. And I want the world to know, I want this community to know that we hold dear our praise and worship and our celebration to God. I want this world and this community to know that they might outgain us, they might out-strategize us, they might outnumber us, but in no way will they outpraise us. I want the world to see God living in us, and that because he lives in us, we are a worshiping people, a community that will even be energized by our worship. Psalm 33 in verses 1 through 3, the psalmist writes, "Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song and play skillfully and shout for joy." Psalm 40 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." In Psalm 96, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples." For the people of Israel, singing new songs wasn't a big deal. The Lord was always doing something new. He was always doing something big, and it gave them a reason to sing a new song. And the songs reflected a life of celebration. When we, the people of God, take inventory, we celebrate with an expression of worship. And so for you, it may be something that God has done in your life. And when you come together with the people of God, or when you're by yourself, when you're driving in the car, when you're at the office, you may find yourself singing a new song. And for you, when you start thinking about what God has done in your life, when you start thinking about and taking inventory of how he delivered you from situations and how you didn't know how you was going to get out, but you got out, you got delivered. For you, it may mean for you, you're going to sing a new song. And for you, it may be that, man, I'm celebrating 44 years of marriage and my wife has put up with me for 44 years. And so I'm going to sing a new song. And for you, it may be something else. It may be that you have three wonderful kids who honor you and who are doing well in this world. And it causes you to look at each other as husband and wife to say, you know what? It's time for us to sing a new song. That's the blessing and that's the beauty of praise and worship and celebration. That for all of us, when we come together, we should all be coming in here with 200 new songs. I don't want to make this difficult. The people of Israel need not go down as the greatest celebrators of all time. Church, we can take that title. Not that we need to compete, but in comparison, we have at least the same or even more reason to celebrate. You see, church, we have Jesus. You see, church, we have been delivered. You see, church, we have the Holy Spirit. You see, church, we have fellowship with one another. You see, church, we have purpose. You see, church, we have hope. We have joy. We have peace. And we are loved. And in a world where everything is a competition, you can't watch TV. Remember, you could watch TV and just watch a chef on TV cooking something, and they give you the recipe as they cook. And remember those days? Now every cooking show is a competition. They said the grocery store is a competition, is Chopped, is everything is a competition. That's what we are inundated in our lives with, competition. Well, if we are going to compete with others, if we feel like we need to compete, as I said before, we might get outgained, we might get outsmarted, we might get outmaneuvered in war, we might get outperformed on the job, but nothing or no one should ever outpraise us or outworship us. We should have the lock on praise and celebration. We might not have the biggest church, but that should not stop us from having the biggest celebration of our God. We might not have all the bells and whistles, but that shouldn't stop us from having the most passionate expression of celebration that this world has ever seen. We might not be the most affluent, but we are rich in the grace and mercy of God. So let's celebrate. Psalm 148. Psalm 148, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the Lord of the Lord, the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great and creature, sea creatures and all ocean depths, light and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart. Everyone say this with me. Praise the Lord. No one or nothing should outpraise us. And with all the reasons that we have been given, it just overwhelms us with reason to give praise. And alongside us giving him praise, the skies will give him praise, and the waters will give him praise, and the animals will give him praise, and the mountains will give him praise. And guess what? If we shut our mouths and we don't give out praise, Jesus says the stones are going to cry out. Yes, so if you believe that God is Elohim, he's your creator. I said I wasn't going to use no big words. If you believe that God created you and he created all of this, you need to celebrate. If you believe that God has provided for you, you need to celebrate. If you believe that God has given you peace, you need to celebrate. If you believe that God is making you holy, you need to celebrate. If you believe that God is leading you, you need to celebrate. If God has rescued you, you need to celebrate. If God is sustaining you, you need to celebrate. If you had a meal 10 minutes ago, an hour ago, or yesterday, you need to celebrate, because there's people that's gone weeks without a meal. Amen. We've been given so many reasons to celebrate. So I don't want to make this difficult. Church, as a worshiping community, we need to celebrate. Now listen, we'll talk about this in the upcoming weeks. There's going to be time to celebrate as a worshiping community. There's going to be time to mourn as a worshiping community. There's going to be a time to confess sin as a worshiping community. there's going to be a time to reflect on covenant that may call for silence and pensive thoughts to take over as a worshiping community. But we can never, ever, ever forget to celebrate. We know how to throw a party, so we ought to know how to throw a party for our God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for blessing us with each other and blessing us as we come together with a collective voice to give you praise. God, you ordained praise. You created us for praise. God, all things that you have created and put set forth in motion, it has been created to give you praise and worship, God. And it's only when we try to not harmonize with that we find ourselves in trouble. We find ourselves in grief. Father, I'm praying that we will bring all our collective joys, all our collective reasons, all our collective new songs, and that we would put that into an energetic celebration of who you are. God, we thank you for Jesus, so we celebrate you. We thank you for creating us, so we celebrate you. We thank you for the church, so we celebrate you. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins, so we celebrate you. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, so we celebrate you. Father, thank you for being the Lord of the heavens, a great King. We praise you, O Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isn't it all right to celebrate God? That's who we need to be. We need to be a people who celebrate, and we're not ashamed to celebrate. If there's anything that the church can do for you, pray for you, if there's something that you want to share with us, that you want us to celebrate with you about, feel free to share that. I heard some news earlier that there's some folks making some decisions today, so we're going to have some moments in a few moments to celebrate some new things. But if there's anything that the church can do for you, if you want to receive the ministry of baptism, we will provide that ministry for you. But if you just want us to touch you, hug you, and pray for you, there's something you're going through. There's something you can't shake. There's a sin that you just are sick of trying to hide, sick of trying to deal with it on your own, and you want the church to help you with that. Well, we want to be that church for you. We want to be your family. So please come as we stand and sing this song.